Sorry, I forgot. I prayed in Afrikaans. Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I really felt out of that song, just to release the word, and then I feel that we might go into that song. Depends on how long I carry on this morning, but that we'll go back into that song, because there's something in it. I don't know Ramon was going to do that this morning, but there's something in it. So, as some of you know, I did speak on a message about it this morning, and I really felt that God wants to talk to us as a family this morning. And I do feel it is, it's quite a heavy word on my heart. There's a fire burning in my heart. So I'm not well prepared on this, so bear with me, but I do feel that God wants to say something this morning, and he wants to encourage us. It's a warning for encouragement. May nothing be hidden in your heart this morning. We sang that now. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. Fire, let your fire fall down. And what does that mean? And actually, one scripture that I've got here, we're going to get to that now, actually talks about that. So we are at war. If you want to put a topic on it, we have to advance to win the war. We have to advance to win the war. Do you realize and know that you are at war? Do you?
Yes.
We are at war. So what does that look like for you? Especially on Mondays, isn't it, eh? Blow Maandag. So what does a war look like to you? And that's maybe something that I think the Lord wants to reveal to us today. What is the war? What is the war for you? What does it look like to you? Is it when you drive to work, your tire, what seems like blast, burst or whatever. You get a flat tire, you have to change your tire, you get to work and the boss is grumpy and not a great, and everything goes wrong at work and it's a blue Monday. Is that war? Come on, we like to say then, yo, the devil is weer los vandaag. Eh? Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. We look around and we see war, with things happening to us. And yes, that might be that. It might be that. But there's something more. There's a war that we need to realize. And I really do feel that us as a congregation this year, this has been pastorally the most difficult year in the last 12 years of eldership for me. It has been. We are at war. And just a small thing. If just looking at, we're not full number here this morning. I've had 3 messages saying that, sorry, we've really got something that we can't cancel. But there's a lot of people not here this morning. We need to realize that it's not just being busy, we're at war. And for the one thing that God spoke to me is, I'll probably get there, but in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the middle, I woke up at 1 o'clock. I haven't been sleeping well in the last 10 days. I had a good night last night, though. Thank you, God. But I think it was around about 2 o'clock in the morning. Woke up at 1, but by 2 o'clock I was praying, and then I just felt God come into my heart with a fire. In the middle of the night, showing me things in my life. And a boldness came into me of, we need to stand up and win the war. We need to stand firm to win the war. See, the war is not mostly what we think of. It's the kingdom of God that needs to advance. The kingdom of God needs to advance. And where's the kingdom of God? See, the Pharisees and the Jews, they missed Jesus. Why? Because they looked around. They were looking for the Messiah to come and free them. They looked with their eyes? Why is there no fruit of the Messiah? And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is inside of you. And I want to say that the kingdom needs to advance inside of you. There's a war inside of you, in each one of us. Do you realize that? I sometimes forget that. There's a war inside of you, a spiritual war inside of you. And the only way that we can win this war is by advancing. We need to advance. We need to move forward. And I really do feel as a congregation that God is warning us today, and I'm going to read us a scripture now, that some of us are losing the war. Because we're not fighting. We're not standing firm. And that, it's a warning. It's a warning. And I don't want to soften it. That's my tendency to do that. My pastoral heart, I don't want to scare people away. I want you to walk out of here feeling amazing. That's my gift. But God put a fire in my heart to warn a congregation that we need to stand firm in the war. And I've seen how not standing firm in the war affects people's lives. And I see how people are losing ground, and I see how the devil comes in and he destroys lives. So I want to read us a scripture. We really do need the fire of God to come in so that the kingdom can advance. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Reading firstly out of the NIV, but I'll quote some of it in the ESV. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. That's a profound scripture. Because most of the gospel we hear today is the one of salvation, not the one of sanctification. Meaning, a lot of what we hear in the church today is, and which is true, that nothing I can do, and the scripture says that, and it's true, nothing I can do can earn my salvation. Nothing. But this scripture says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Make every effort to be holy. And it says there, and it brings it back to salvation, doesn't it? It says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So wait, so I must do the right thing so that I can see the Lord, isn't it what that's saying? Isn't that confusing? No, it's not. Because it's something that salvation does. Salvation produces holiness. Yes. Salvation produces holiness. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying to you here, so if you are not being holy and growing in holiness, it will affect salvation. He says there, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And he carries on, verse 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. Sure. And that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many, so that no one is sexually immoral. And it's not just that. And then it starts talking about godlessness. Or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he had sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. The ESV says it like this. See, for you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no chance to repent. New Testament. He could not, he said, though he sought it with tears. So baie van ons het daai berou en maar ons verander nie. We've got the tears, but we're not changing. And he's warning us against that. He said he lost his inheritance because of a bowl of soup. And then a beautiful part, verse 18, it carries on. He says, and the writer brings this balance of realizing what the old covenant was like and the fear that was there. And he goes into details. So he wants us to remember that. And then he goes on what amazing privilege we've got in the new covenant. I'm going to read it. Firstly, he goes into the old covenant. He says, you have not, meaning where we get to go for holiness, basically. Okay. We have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. Talking about the old covenant. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I tremble with fear. That's old covenant. But he goes into detail so that we remember how it was. And then he says, verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn. This is where we are today. Whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See, what he wants us to realize is that there's a kindness, the privilege we've got in a new covenant that leads us to repentance. But don't remember the previous one. Is that if we do not work on our holiness, we are affecting our salvation. It's because of our salvation that we do this. And then he says, he goes into warning again. Verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks on that beautiful mountain we spoke about now, meaning this that we're experiencing now. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28, so important for this morning. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, not received, I'm going to say that again. Since we are receiving a kingdom, we are receiving it. It's not something that we receive salvation and I'm okay. We are receiving this kingdom. We need to advance this kingdom in our hearts. Once we stop advancing, we feel like we've received this thing. Does that make sense now what I'm saying? We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably, with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. See, Jesus came as a lamb, but he's coming back as a lion. Make every effort today, as I'm speaking to you this morning, make every effort today to listen to his voice. Make every effort. See, I see so many people just managing their lives, just going through the motions. And we just carry on and carry on, and we're not dealing with sin. We're not dealing with the things in our life. We're not actively, front-footedly, trying to advance the kingdom in my life. And then we get to a place where the pawpaw hits the fan. And we do stuff that we don't want to do. And then we start looking around who's going to help. Instead of advancing the kingdom. So to win the war, you need to start advancing in your lives. So we've got this, and I think the church is a big problem in the world because of this. It's one of the biggest reasons why we've got this problem is the church. Especially in Swellendam. And I want to say especially for us, because we like comparing ourselves to other Christians. We think we're okay. Looking at the other churches. And even not just in this town, we look at Josh Chain and we think, hey, we're Alpha Church compared to the rest of the world, we think. Hoog moet voor u val. If we don't realize that we should compare to His holiness, we're never going to advance. We're going to think we're okay. We're not dealing with the cracks in our characters. Not dealing with the sin. Because I really do believe that the church is preaching a lopsided Jesus. A lamb, and we keep on preaching on the lamb, and not enough about the lion that's coming back. Also, I think a problem that we've got, and it's also something that I feel that I want to speak into our lives as well, that I felt, is the thing of this excuse and this lie. Honestly believe it's a lie from the devil, that we've got this attitude of, I'm not equipped to deal with these things. There's only a few people that's equipped to do this, and I think the Western church is, according to me, yet again, one of the bigger problems because of this, because we build towards people that are academically equipped to deal with things. Now, what I mean about that is that we tend to run from counselor to counselor, from psychologist to psychologist, doctor to doctor, and that's a Western culture thinking, where the Holy Spirit equips us as saints, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And we keep on running and saying, even us, we keep on saying, go to the elders. And we're not equipping ourselves through the Spirit to help each other. And I'm not saying counselors and psychologists and there's not a place for them. But I want to say, in the middle of Africa, where are they going to find a counselor? In the middle of nowhere, where are they going to find a psychologist? A good Christian psychologist. Where are they going to find? The Bible doesn't talk about that. Jesus said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, go to this person and this and go and figure this out so that you can get to the root of the problem. Now, I'm not saying there's not a place for that. There is a place for that. Just hear me. But the church, especially the Western culture, builds towards people that are academically can deal with these things. And we don't lean on the Spirit ourselves. And we are going to equip next week or when Ross comes, and there's a place of equipping us to do this. But you need to be able to deal with this stuff in your life, and that's what I'm preaching today. So this might get a little bit longer, but I'm going to do it as basic as we can. Okay? Does it make sense what I'm saying this morning? See, you are equipped. You've got the Spirit. You've got the Bible. I want to keep it basic this morning, and I want to give us just what the Bible speaks about this war and how do we handle this. How do we handle this war? How do we fight this war? How do we stand firm in this war? And it's very basic. And I can carry on with each one of this for very long, each one of these parts. But I want to keep it so that we can handle, so that we can see that we can apply this in our lives. See, the Bible talks about armor of God. And that's something we learn as kids, and we talk about it But is it, I want to say, when last, by show of hands, when last did you read about the armor of God and applied it in your life? By show of hands, quickly. When last in the last year? Okay, in the last 6 months? Not even 2-4% of the church. Applying that in your life. And we want to run to people to help us do things. But we're not applying the word of God in our lives. The best defense is offense. If we are not advancing, we are losing the war. So I want to read us. And I do believe that if you're struggling with things today, it's a war. And I want to say this morning that if you're struggling with things, it's a... Sorry. Ek sien daai hoor julle daai ham. Net so 'n bietjie die bas drop asseblief. And I want to say you've got a crack in your armor. And the devil waits for the crack in your armor. And he pounds on a crack in your armor. So we're going to read and we're going to work through Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 18. Verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So Paul writes to the church in Ephesians and he says, or in Ephesus, and he says this. This is what he ends with. He knows that we're all at war. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of your might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I want to say it's schemes of the devil. It's planne. Listighede van die vijand. Do we realize that he's got a plan for your life? Yes, God's got a plan for your life. But he's also got a plan for your life. It's not just bursting the tire on your way to work. It's not throwing bombs. He's strategic. He works a plan with you. And you need to realize that. It's not just, sien net hier en daar probeer hy ietsie doen om jou te trip of ietsie nie. He's working a plan with you. Why? Because he wants to work against the salvation that you've got in your heart. And he's not stupid. And we need to realize that. 1 Peter 5 verse 8, have a sound judgment. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. John 17, the famous prayer between the Father and Jesus. This conversation. It's beautiful. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one. Even between the Father and Jesus, there's this awareness of the devil that he wants to lure us away from salvation and keep those away from salvation who haven't found it. Even in the Lord's Prayer, it says, teaches us to pray. What does he say? And do not lead us into temptation and deliver us from evil. It comes through even in that prayer. There's a, and I don't want us to, and here's the thing. I don't want to make us devil conscious. I want to make us kingdom conscious. And I want to say, if we're not advancing, the devil's going to win the war. And I want to, just a small thing in just that fire in my heart that happened during the night. When that fire came, it showed stuff in my life. As I was praying, I'm like, God, speak to me. And a fire came down, and he sort of, there's a boldness that came up. But before that boldness came up, he spoke to me about something. And I said, it's no tussenmynie here, né? He said, hou op 'n pansie wees. Net so. Vir 'n vrystater. Because I was busy losing the war. In myself. Self-pity. Feeling sorry for myself. Crying, lying there. And he said, you need to lead the people. Stop feeling self-pity. Hoop om 'n pansy te wees. Stand up and lead yourself. We need to stand firm. We need to stand firm. So in these small things the devil comes. For me to advance the kingdom in my heart, for God to advance in my heart, I had to stand up that next morning and say to you guys on a WhatsApp, please, I haven't done this since I was leading. Please cancel your plans. I can't make you do that. But I really do feel that you need to be here this morning. We need to realize that we're in a war. And it's the small things. Yet again, he's got a plan. He's working with the small things in your life. That anger issue, that lust issue, that, and just the temptation of that. If we're not dealing with not being friendly, if we're not dealing with not controlling your husband as a wife. Yeah, as a wife, not controlling your husband. Yeah. Yeah. If we're not dealing with those things, you may think that it's a small thing just to not to deal with my desire for worldly things. I like nice things. You know, the devil, that's small things. He's working with a plan. We need to stand firm. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. See, it's not situations. The situations are showing your cracks. I'm going to say that again. It's not in the situations and the things you are facing. We keep on trying to speak Jesus over those things, which is good. But sometimes it's just there to show your cracks so that the kingdom can advance inside of you. We're too la-di-da. When something happens, sometimes we're just too la-di-da and not realizing that we've got a war going on now. Or we get this too sort of, we are either too la-di-da, which I see a lot. I don't see people really advancing, breaking through in worshiping, breaking through in prayer, advancing. I don't see that. I see some people do that, but I don't see a lot of them doing that. We're too la-di-da, going through life, just managing. Or I see a lot of people in reaction and not responding. A lot of people reacting and not responding so that the kingdom can advance, reacting in situations. And that reaction should just show you. Yet again, emotions is not a bad thing. Emotions is there to be a gauge, not a guide. It's beautiful. God gave you emotions so that you can feel, okay, now I know I'm feeling this. I'm gauging. I'm feeling mad now. I'm feeling frustrated or I'm feeling whatever. God wants you to respond to that so that the kingdom can advance. Does that make sense? And that's why the Bible says suffering produces what? Endurance. Endurance produces what? Character. That's why suffering happens, is so that we can produce a godly character in us. And we keep on speaking into the things instead of speaking into us and how we react into these situations. So here's how we stand firm. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. When last did you have an evil day? Come, be honest. Already this morning. When last did you apply the armor of God? Months ago. So how do we stand firm? Verse 14, stand therefore having fastened the belt of truth. So I want to go through this and I want to give us handles. Just a handle to understand it. Is that okay with you guys? How do we stand? the belt of truth. Now, Paul is not referring to the Bible here. The Bible is coming later. He's referring to truth. Now, if you want to apply counseling in your life, in your own life, this is where you start. The belt of truth is the first thing they've put on. Why? Because that's the place where you start. The place where we start is to live in truth. The place where you start is to seek the truth in a situation. To seek the truth in yourself. Why am I emotionally feeling this? Try and find truth. Stand in truth. And how do we do that? Pray and ask God to show you the truth. Don't just believe your emotions. Believe what you're feeling about the situation. Seek truth. That's a place where you start. If you don't start there, armor of God, you need to understand this. Armor is protecting you against a force. The evil day, the force is coming. It's coming against you. He's got plans against you. Plans to take your salvation away from you. So we need to seek truth as people. Die erns van dit vir julle te verduidelik is dat we need to seek truth in our lives. And what I mean by that is, that's when I spend time with Marius. I said, Marius, I know that he, and we've said it so many times, Marius, if you see something in my character, speak to me. But when last did you ask somebody that's seeking truth? What are you seeing in my life? Because I don't want a crack in my armor. Because the devil's going to pound on that. How am I treating my wife? How am I treating my kids? How am I feel this emotion when I respond as help me, Lord, first. And then I speak to people to find that truth. And I want to say, if the devil gets a foothold in your armor if you believe a lie. And we need to know that. That's the first place where he starts getting his foot in the door, and then it becomes a stronghold. The moment a lie becomes a truth for you, he gets a stronghold in your life. Or a foothold. He gets a door in. So does it make sense now to try and find truth in your life? To try and live in a way that I'm living in? Truth. Meaning Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Am I life like Jesus? Am I living like Jesus? That's the first thing we do is seek truth. And I want to say seeking is advancing the kingdom in your life. If you want to win the war, this is what the Bible says. Seek, advance the truth in your life. Seek, advance my areas which is lies. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Okay, so she says a lot of people don't see it as lies because you find your own truth. And that's why it's so important to be a part of a family so that we can find truth together. Because you don't know what you don't know. Blind spots, it's one of the, you don't know what you don't know. And that's why it's so healthy to ask people, speak to me, what do you see? And I want to say, when last did you ask somebody, what do you see in my life that is not Jesus? Who did that in the last 6 months? Yeah. All the married men are like, I don't have to ask. I don't have to ask. So we'll talk to him about that later, so, yeah.
Action movie. But to go to someone and say, what cracks do you see in my life? It's like watching these movies, making ready before war. They've got these guys dressing them. Have you seen those guys? And putting the armor on them. And those guys, the reason why they do that is because if there's any crack in that armor, the enemy can kill you just like that in seconds. And I think we need to see it that way, that the guy that actually dresses him and makes sure that his belt is tight and he's got everything in his helmet, because he's got no hair, his helmet is on. That's a guy that you need to go to, yeah, to see, yeah, where is the cracks.
Yeah. Very, very good. Very good. And I want to say this again, neglecting the gathering of the saints. What was the context of that scripture? Encouraging one another as long as today is a day, so that our hearts will not become deceitful, hardened. So advancing wins the war. Advancing wins the war. And finding that truth, sometimes it means that you need to get two or three of your friends together and you pray together about you. Get your community guys together and say, guys, I need to find truth in this area of my life. Let's pray together, because I do feel that there's a lie that I need to find. And it's beautiful when you do those sort of things. It's praying together, it's seeking that truth. Now we're just that truth. Okay. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What does that mean? So the first thing is find truth. That's the belt. We start there. Breastplate of righteousness. What is that? Is it knowing that I'm righteous in front of God? Hey? Is it that? How do I apply this breastplate in my life? It's not a breastplate of salvation. We're getting to that. Breastplate of righteousness is once I've seen the truth, I do the right thing. It's living righteous. Be holy. Why is it a breastplate? And this broke it open for me so much. Why is it a breastplate? It protects your organs. It protects your heart. So God says living right protects your heart. Living holy protects your heart from what? Being deceitful, so that will lead into what? Turning away from God. See, if I'm not living right, if I'm not doing everything I can and making every effort I can to seek the truth and to repent, and that's counseling. Let's find the truth and let's repent. That's it. It's not rocket science. Find the truth, repent, do the right thing. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Why? God wants to protect you because the devil wants to bring an unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Scripture. So I'm living right to protect my salvation so that I don't fall away from the living God. Because the protecting, if I don't have a breastplate, if there's a crack in my arm and something, now let's do this practical. You've got a lie. You don't realize that lie. And you keep on living that way. What's happening? Your heart becomes callous. The conviction of the Holy Spirit can't protect your heart anymore because there's a crack in your armor. You're not living the right way. You're not fixing this thing. And what happens with sin? First thing, shame and guilt comes in. Shame and guilt is a sin. If I don't realize I'm in shame and guilt, what happens? I feel insecure. And once I'm insecure, I start isolating. Once I isolate, what's the next thing? I become independent. I believe more lies. Because this is what I believe. I can live like this. I can do whatever I want. Once you're independent, you start do more iniquities, more sin. And then eventually, spiritual death. That's why God says, protect your heart, start repenting, do the right thing, because sin is affecting your heart. And this is what Hebrews says. Take care, brothers. Brothers, lest there be any of you with an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Scripture, it's what I explained now. Ons doen nie die regte ding om reg te wees voor die Here nie. Gaan dit weer vir julle sê vanoggend. We're not doing the right thing to be righteous. God says be righteous to protect your own heart. Because that will affect your heart and lead you away from me. So sin can never, never lead you away from God. It can harden your heart and you walk away from God. Does that make sense now? Explain it well enough. So we need to advance to win the war, and advancing is finding the truth and doing the right thing. Believe the truth. Verse 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now it's not just putting on the shoes and going and preaching the gospel. It is that. But it says it beautifully. It says the gospel of peace. Why shoes? He wants us to keep on moving, advancing. Armor shoes had studs underneath. Because it's slippery and muddy sometimes, or rocky. I want to say, if you're not advancing, if you're not preaching the gospel, if you're not keeping the main thing in your life, that we are here to save people, we are here as a calling, as a church, if we're not keeping that in mind and moving forward, we're going to slip and fall. And Jesus picked up on it. When he saw the unbelieving hearts of the disciples, what did he say? Go and make disciples. He said, keep on moving. If you're just managing your life, just managing your marriage, just managing your finances, and that's what you're living for, you're going to slip and fall. We need to advance. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom of God in your life. And I want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, God, how much of the kingdom did I advance today? Where could I have advanced the kingdom better? Then tomorrow morning you pray, Lord, show me, how can I advance the kingdom today? It's not just living for ourselves and going in from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then again waiting for Wednesday night or Sunday, and I'll be at church once a month maybe. It's just so much more. We're at war. We need to stand firm. Verse 16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. This is a beautiful picture. This is a massive handle for the war. It's the shield, and it's a big one. And what happens when you drop the shield? Darts come. What does it mean? If I drop my faith, the devil will pound on that thing. And practically, we want to, and the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Once you want to see what's going to happen in your life, once you want to make plans, once you want to be the one that sees this is what my life is going to look like, the devil will come with the dart. Why did my life, I heard God say that I need to move to Swellendam. I heard God say that to me. And then things doesn't turn out the way you think. What are you doing? You're dropping that shield. You're looking. And the devil comes, yeah, did you hear right? Did you hear right? That's a flaming dart. Poof. Instead of saying, no, I heard, whatever, God, I trust you. I trust you. Whatever my life turns out to, that's the shield. I trust you. I put faith out. And that's when the devil says, okay, if you're putting your trust in God, I can't do anything. If you're trusting in God's sovereignty in your life. Yeah. So when you walk with a shield, where do you look? you're going to have to look to the ground, because once you look over and you look forward, you look at your feet. So you focus on the gospel, and he says, we are a lamp unto our feet. So whenever you want to look up, you have to find faith. Because otherwise the devil's going to find a crack. Does it make sense? Okay. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Now this is the last protective armor. All of them are defensive, protecting you. This is the last protecting one. And this is a beautiful one. Helmet of salvation. Now we get to salvation. And we can delve into deep things about this, but I want to give us just this one thing. The helmet of salvation. How did they know which army is which army? They looked at the armor, but the main thing was the helmet. They had different things on the helmet so that they can know who's who. Some of them had a mohawk or whatever. Try to look mean. See, the helmet of salvation is just one thing for me, and how I try and apply that in my life. So I need to know who I am. That's what salvation is for me. Now, salvation means I know I'm only a sojourner. What I've seen here is temporary. And I know where I'm going. So when my faith fails, listen carefully now, when my faith fails and the shield drops, when I struggle to do the right thing and I'm really battling, breastplate, and I'm struggling to find truth, you need to hold on to your salvation knowing that, yes, Lord, I know that I know. I know that I know. I'm your child and I'm going forward. I'm going. I know where I'm going. And that's why Paul falls back on this as well. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's salvation. So the flaming dart can come at your head and he can point and he can shoot. But you know, I know, even though it's not making sense now, I know where I'm going. I know who I am. I know what's my identity. I know that I am saved. Know who you are. We must learn to keep our helmets buckled so that these fiery missiles do not lodge into our thoughts and set us on fire. Through this helmet of salvation, we can destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Whenever those doubts come in, you have to hold the faith and know that you are Christ because of the cross. And lastly, this is the one we're advancing with. This is all protecting us. How do we advance with the sword? That's the only offensive armor we've got. And it is verse 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and not just that. It's not. We sometimes stop there. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. It's a word and prayer. It's not just the word. And it's incredible. It's not your spirit. It's a big S. Meaning it's the Spirit is your sword. So it's amazing that Paul brings in two things, according to him, that will give you the measure of the Spirit. Does it make sense now what I'm saying? For you to find the measure of Spirit, there's two things he thinks. How are you going to fight with the Spirit? It's not just trusting the Spirit and relying on the Spirit. It's fighting with the Spirit. And how do we do that? There's two things. Word and prayer. So the measure, now this is going to sound bold now, the measure by which you handle the word and your prayer is going to be the measure by which you advance. If you're not handling the word well, if you're not knowing your word well, the whole armor fails. If you're not praying, all you've got is the armor. And you're not advancing. So look at your prayer life. That's how much spirit you've got in your life fighting for you. Look at your knowledge of the word. And I'm not saying that you need to remember the word. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about applying the word of God in your life. You don't have to remember all the scriptures, because I really battle with that. But I know the word of God, because I read it a lot. And I can do better than that. My prayer life sucks. And I wonder why I struggle sometimes with self-pity and all these things. Because I'm not applying the Spirit through prayer. And look at our church. We call prayer meetings. How many come? If we want to advance the kingdom of God, we need the Spirit and we need the Word. And I want to say, sometimes we struggle with our Bible and we struggle to really, but get, and it sounds strange now, get topical with God. What I mean by that is speak to God and say, God, maybe I want to teach or learn more about the Father heart of God or whatever. And then you climb into the Word. Find the truth about that. Teach yourself. Don't just wait and, okay, what's God saying? And there's a place of studying the Bible. And as you study the Bible, it fills you. And when the time comes, when the lie comes, you identify the lie because you've got the Word. And it's not just protecting, it's also advancing. It's advancing the kingdom. And we're not going to win the war if we're not advancing. And lastly, I'm going to say this again. I'm preaching to the saved this morning. And well done for those who changed your plans to be here this morning. But if we want to advance as a church, how can we... If God's speaking like he's doing this morning to us, God's speaking, he's using me to speak to you, and I'm standing bold in saying that. I know he is. If you're missing this morning, how much of the word and prayer and advancing of the kingdom have you missed? That's why he says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints, because he knows the evil day will come. And then that scripture ends, and it sounds very cheesy, but as I read this, I just thought of, yeah, cheesy, not cheesy. Anyways, that thing of Brakanyan, what all they say, one for all and all for one, in Musketeers. We're in a war, one for all and all for one. Just think of that, one for all and all for one. To that end, keep alert. With all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Your prayers and diving into the word for the saints. When last did you really advance the kingdom for the saints and not just for yourself? When last did you really pray for the guys in your community, for that one you know is struggling? That's how we advance. This is how we win the war. We're not going to win the war by standing still and just reacting to situations. Amen? So I want us to respond in that song. I know it's been a bit long, but I really do feel that God, we need to apply this in our lives. The evil day is daily. I'm going to say that again. The evil day is daily. We're not devil conscious, we're kingdom conscious. We need to advance the kingdom in your life. You need to deal with that sin in your life. You need to see the truth. Repent. And you know what? In the last couple of months, I saw how the devil comes in with the lies and he destroys households. He destroys people's lives. I'm not preaching this just to give you a little bit of equipment this morning. God's warning us. He's going to come as a consuming fire. And we don't deal with these things. We need to deal with these things. Not just so that I can stand in front of God one day and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But it's protecting my own heart so that I don't turn away from God. God wants you to deal with these things because he sees what the lies does. And he wants to keep on giving you the kingdom. You just need to open your heart for that. And I want us to sing that song again this morning. Father, let your fire fall down. Nothing here is hidden. You are my one desire. Come, can we stand? Let's sing this.
Sure, wat 'n oggend. Ek wil net gou iets, I just want to share something. And this is, ek hou van die appelkar altyd omgooi. Because I'm a lot more straightforward than Charlie is. Unfortunately, but if you get to know me, my heart's always for you. But here's the thing this morning, and I want to tell you this. It's June almost. And the thing that Charles just shared this morning is like, and it's for us as well as elders. Don't think we're excluded in this. It's for all of us. If you don't advance the kingdom in your own life, it becomes, listen now very carefully, it becomes a burden to the church. It's heavy. And then the church cannot advance in the kingdom of God. This is very important that I'm saying now. It's June and we haven't had time, or we were so consumed with all of these things, and me included, because there's a lot of households and a lot of saints that we need to help now. But we've been so consumed with this that we don't even have a date for a men's camp in this year. Because we haven't been thinking about advancing the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at this morning? You understand how important this is that Charles is trying to share with us? Is to a saints to stand up and advance the kingdom. So that the burden of the church, we shouldn't have this. Yes, we're there for each other and we push in and help where we can. But there's a place where God wants to say, advance as a church. Can we do that this morning?
I want to add to that, that there's one beautiful thing that I've saw this year, is the way that the body works and is functioning. That I'm not doing everything. And it's beautiful to see. It's beautiful to see how the body is functioning. And that's a, there's a reason, there is an advancement in this. And we're growing into handling. But this morning is equipping all of us to deal with this stuff. And I know talking about this will most probably bring out more things. But that's advancing. That's advancing as well. So God's been good to us. But he's warning us this morning as well. So open your hearts as we sing this now. Open your, it's between you and God. Open your heart so that God will come down as a consuming fire to shake the things that cannot be shaken. Amen.
To you, Lord, I hope and nothing here is hidden. You are my one desire. And you alone are
just a warning, especially to those of us that's in a spacious place. So for me personally, I'm in a sweet spot. Like there's no tires bursting and that flew off the diver losses. But the Lord just showed me it's actually an even more dangerous place than when the wheels were already coming off. Because Charlie's message could easily penetrate for those among us that's struggling at the moment. Yeah, it's an easy one. I mean, in a way, you hear it and you're like, yes, I want to yield the warning. I want to put on the armor. I want to do these things. But for me, that's in a way, in an easy place, I can go, oh, well, that's for the oaks that's struggling, whose walls are falling apart. But the picture I had this morning, even when we prayed, was a cup of tea can be hot, hot, hot. You boil the water, it's hot. And next minute, you get distracted and that cup has gone ice cold or lukewarm. And I feel such a warning for us that's feeling our lives are actually fine. If we don't advance, as Charlie's saying, we are sliding back. If that water is not on the boil, it is busy becoming lukewarm. And the warning to the Hebrews that Charlie also mentioned was the thing of don't neglect gathering together, and the specific context is especially as the days are growing more evil. So just a month ago, my cup of tea took like long before it was lukewarm. Now, with the atmosphere getting colder, with the weather changing, it actually goes lukewarm within minutes. And I feel this word is not just for today. The times are going to grow more and more evil. Even for those of us that in the moment are in a sense in an easy place, we don't know what's going to hit the day after. And if we're not now getting fit in terms of advancing, what is the chance we're going to suddenly, oh, where's my shield, where's my... There's a reason why armies go through boot camp. And I think the grace of God is that we're hearing this message. We need it today, yes, but we're hearing it way before the big wars are going to break out. I don't know if you can hear what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say, take this for today, but be grateful that you have time to actually learn to take captive thoughts and grow in believing the truth over a lie and have time to help your friends to help you find the cracks, because we ain't seen nothing yet when it comes to evil days.
So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts, and let us not lift our souls to another. And give us clean hands and give us pure hearts, and let us not lift our souls to another.
Sure. as Cornell was singing this song now. I just heard it's when God called Samuel and he went to Eli and he said, "Are you calling me?" And he said, "No." And then God called again. Then Elijah said to him, "When you hear that voice again, say, 'Here I am, God, speak.'" And I just feel at this moment that it's just a moment where we all got to say, as we hear God speaking and God calling us in this message that Charles has brought, in this place where we are now, is to say, "God, here I am. Speak. Speak with me." Okay.
Yes, may we hear His voice. Yeah, Ruth just felt that not just for her own life, but for all of us, that we need to really focus on a helmet of salvation, that through the thoughts, even as you're standing here now, doubt can creep in. So Father, I pray that your consuming fire will come into our hearts. And Father, I pray that we will find the joy in repentance, God. That we will find the gospel of peace as we advance. Father, the war is won through the Spirit. I pray that, Father, that we will seek to advance the kingdom through our devotion in word and prayer. Come and bring a fire in our hearts for that, Lord. A fire in our hearts, God. Father, I want to repent as a congregation where some of us, Father, has fell short on devoting ourselves into the Word of God, Father. Devoting ourselves to prayer. I pray, Father, that we will not just have remorse like Esau, Father, but that we will repent and do it differently, Father. That through the fire in our hearts, Father, that we will devote ourselves to the Bible and devote ourselves to prayer so that the kingdom can advance in our lives, God. So that we will advance and not just defend, Lord. Father, protect our hearts against sin. Show us, Father. Show us where we are not hitting the mark, where we are missing the mark daily. I ask, Father, as we spend time with you, that you will remind us to keep on asking you, Father, where did I miss the mark today, God? Because I want to find the joy and the peace, and Father, I want to live in the fruit of the Spirit, God. And living that fruit of the Spirit will advance the kingdom. So what fruit am I not revealing, God? What fruit am I not revealing? Patience. We've become such an impatient generation, God. Teach us to wait on you patiently. Teach us, God. Teach us to be humble, Lord. Because we think we've arrived. We haven't arrived, God. I ask, God, that the kingdom will advance in our lives. So that the kingdom will advance in this town and in this world, God. So that there will be a remnant, a city and a light, a city and a hill, a light that cannot be taken from. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.